Starting our Bibles this evening to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We begin looking at this chapter tonight by observing what the prophet Nathan had told David in the previous chapter, in chapter 12 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. God speaking through the prophet to David, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. The Lord loved David. The Lord loves all of his people, loves them with an everlasting love. Loves his people. God loves his people even as he loves Christ. The Lord loved David, and the scripture tells us, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We all are familiar that David had committed the sin of adultery and then the sin of murder. And in this chapter, chapter 13, we see how these two things came to pass in his house, in his family. His daughter Tamar was raped by her half-brother Amnon, who was then murdered by his half-brother Absalom. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of chapter 13. I think we're all familiar enough with the chapter. But I do want to point out something before I come to the words that I'll use as my text tonight. I want you to notice in chapter 11, you have your Bible in open to chapter 13. Look back to chapter 11 and verse 4. The word sent is what I want us to think about here. And David sent messengers and took her. That is Bathsheba. He sent messages and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. Now look in our chapter tonight, chapter 13 and verse 7. The word sent again. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. In the first verse, we see that David sent his servants to take Bathsheba, who was not his wife, another man's wife. And now in this chapter, we see that David sends his daughter to the house of the man who will violate her. Another verse in chapter 11 and verse 14. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Here we see that David sent Uriah with a message to Joab to cause his death. And if you look back in chapter 13, verse 27, we find that David sent Ammon to his brother's place where he was shearing sheep. He sent him to his death. Thought that was interesting. The first place David sent to take Bathsheba, another man's wife. And now in this chapter, he sends his daughter to the place where she will be raped. And also in that chapter 11, he sent Uriah with the message to facilitate his death in the battle. And now he sends Amnon, his son, to Absalom's place where he will meet his death. As I said, I believe that we're familiar enough with this chapter without me reading it, but I want to speak to us tonight from something we read, and it always gets my attention every time I read through this chapter. It's found in verse 3, 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Amnon, David's son, had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Jonadab was not only Amnon's friend, but he was Amnon's cousin, David's nephew. What is a friend? Well, I looked this definition up in my dictionary, Noah Webster's dictionary. What is a friend? One who is attached to another by affection. One who entertains for another sentiments or feelings of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity, opposed to foe or enemy. In other words, a friend is just the opposite of a foe or an enemy. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection and has feelings of esteem, respect for the other, which causes him or leads him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity. Three things I want to say to us tonight about a friend, the subject of a friend. First, bad friends are to be avoided. Bad friends are to be avoided. Amnon had this friend, and he was a bad friend. The definition that I read of a friend is one who seeks to promote the happiness and the prosperity of another. This friend, when he saw that Amnon had feelings for his half-sister, he suggested to him a plan as to how he could have his half-sister, how he could take her, and eventually he would violate her. And his plan, when you look at it, it caused Amnon was responsible, of course, for his actions. I'm certainly not saying that. But this friend put forth this plan to Amnon, which, as you look at it, will cause him to break three of the commandments of God. He will break the commandment which tells us, honor thy father and thy mother. He will break the commandment which tells us not to lie or to tell an untruth. And he will break the commandment which tells us not to commit adultery. And that commandment is not just adultery. I know adultery is between two married persons. Fornication is between a single person and maybe a married person. But that commandment which forbids adultery, it forbids all sexual immorality, all uncleanness. Not just adultery, it's all sexual sins and immorality. And this plan that Amnon suggested to, or rather Jonadab suggested to Amnon, was to break all of these commandments of God. And of course, he did that. He disobeyed his father. He didn't honor his father because he feigned that he was sick. He wasn't sick, but he feigned that he was sick. And then he lied to his father because he told his father that the only way that he could possibly be helped physically would be for his father to send Tamar, his half-sister, to take care of him, to attend to his needs on a bed of affliction. And then he would have his half-sister, Tamar, to serve him. What does the scripture say about Tamar? She's a victim here. It doesn't say a whole lot about her, but everything that is said is good. Everything that is said about her is good. Everything that is said about Amnon and his friend Jonadab is bad. The first thing we read about her, not only in verse 1 is she called Absalom's sister, but she was fair. In other words, she was a pretty girl, young lady. You know, beauty has advantages and disadvantages. And no doubt it was her beauty here that caused her brother to have these feelings for her. Not only was she fair, but she was privileged. She was a daughter of a king. I would imagine the children of King David fared very well, don't you? She was privileged, and she was clothed in clothes, dresses that no other women in Israel wore. That is, the king's daughter, they were specially dressed with gold wires woven through the cloth that their dresses were made from, so that they could always be identified. No matter where they went, a person would see them and they would know that's one of the king's daughters there. So, and she was obedient. She was pretty. She was privileged. She was obedient. Her father told her, now, Tamar, you go to your half-brother's house. And she didn't go down there to play games or anything like that. He sent her down there to work, to serve. And that's what she did, isn't it? She went down and she made his meal for him and fed it to him. What kind of a friend was this Jonadab? He was a bad friend. He was the worst kind of friend that a person might have. You've all heard that saying, and it's true. Many times with friends like that, you don't need any enemies. And that was certainly true in this case. With this man as his friend, Amnon, he didn't need any enemies. You know, we especially encourage our children, our young people, to carefully choose their friends. That's very important, isn't it? But it's not just important for children and for young people. It's important for all of us, all of God's children. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he made this statement, "Evil companions corrupt good manners." And so it's important that we all be careful about our friends. We choose them. And any man or woman who would in any way take us away from the Word of God, take us away from the services of worshiping the Lord, those are not the kind of friends that we want. Those are not the kind of friends that we need. We need friends who will encourage us. Encourage us in the things of the Lord. We certainly do not need any that would in any way discourage us. So that's my first thought. Bad friends are to be avoided. Good friends are to be prized. That's my second point. Good friends are to be prized. Think of how things might have been different how things might have been different in this case if Jonadab had been a good friend to Amnon. A good friend, we read, will seek to promote his friend's prosperity and his happiness. What would Jonadab have done if he had been a good friend? What might he have done, I should say? Well, first of all, when he understood Amnon's feelings, his desires towards his half-sister, he would have rebuked him and told him in no uncertain terms, what you are desiring is sinful, it's wicked, and it's against the Word of God. And maybe he, if he had known the Word of God, he would have quoted to him one of the passages where this kind of relationship between brother and sister, not necessarily full brothers and sisters, but having the same father or having the same mother, that it is strictly forbidden by God. In Leviticus 20, for instance, we have this. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness. Now, in Leviticus, when you read that terminology, see her nakedness, what it's talking about is just a polite way of speaking about fornication or adultery. See her nakedness. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. This is what God said. It is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. If Jonadab had been a good friend, he would have told Ammon, but he was a bad friend. A good friend will tell you the truth even when it hurts. If he's a good friend or she's a good friend, and they see you desiring to do something or planning to do something or wanting to do something that is wrong, is sinful, they will tell you the truth. The scripture says faithful proverbs. There's a lot of proverbs, isn't there, about friends. That's one reason it's so good to read through Proverbs, 31 chapters. Read a chapter a day if you can. And the wisdom that you find there in that book. But there's many scriptures that speak about a friend in Proverbs. And one of them is faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful. A good friend will tell you the truth even when it hurts. In other words, if this man had been a good friend, he would have told Amnon, the penalty for what you are planning, what you're desiring, what you're thinking about doing is death. It's going to lead to your death. Now, if the law had been executed, Amnon would have died by stoning. Because that's what the law prescribed for this rape. That's what the law prescribed. You think about the prodigal son in the parable that our Lord told. Remember when he had his inheritance, he had a lot of friends, didn't he? As long as he could pay for the wine and the music, he had a lot of friends. You know, there's a scripture, one of the Proverbs, which says something. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. If that man had been told, the prodigal son had been told, hey, you've got a lot of friends here. But the scripture is very clear. The reason you have friends is because you're giving gifts. But once the money ran out, we know his friends were gone also. They were gone when his money was gone. One of the proverbs that we read concerning friends is, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. The word hearty means heavy, strong counsel, doesn't it? A man's friend, sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And that's what this man needed. He didn't need some sugar-coated advice. He needed some strong, some hearty advice that what he was seeking to do was wrong, and it would end in shame. It would end in shame, and actually, it would end in his death, and it should have ended in his death. So bad friends are to be avoided. Good friends are to be prized. And that should remind all of us to be a good friend. Those that we have as our friends, we should be good friends. Seek to be good friends to them. Sometimes it means telling a person what they may not want to hear. But to be a good friend, to stand with your friend. My third point is, there is a friend like no other. There is a friend like no other. You say, who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend like no other friend. He is the one described in Proverbs 17, in verse 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times. Isn't that Christ? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When I read that scripture, a friend loveth at all times, it makes us remember that our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, has always loved us, that his love is eternal, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There never was a time from before the foundation of the world he loved his friends. And when we had fallen into sin and depravity, his love didn't cease. His love didn't change. But he continued to love. And that word adversity, a brother is born for adversity. Adversity, a definition, is a state of unhappiness. The Lord Jesus Christ was born our brother. You know, he's the kinsman redeemer, isn't he? And in order for him to be a kinsman redeemer, he had to be kin to us. He had to be our brother. He had to be bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. An angel could not redeem us. No, it had to be a brother, one who was one with us. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples in John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we hear that when a policeman or a fireman is taken in the line of duty and they give their life trying to save others or protect society. And that's true, isn't it? It's very true that greater love hath no man than that a man laid down his life for his friends. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for his enemies. He laid down his life that for his enemies, that we might be made his friends. You say, he laid down his life for his enemies? Yes, yes. Romans chapter 5, the scripture says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends, but he Our friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one who is born for adversity, he laid down his life for his enemies, for you and me, in order that we might become his friends. And he called his disciples his friends in that passage there in John chapter 15. God called Abraham his friend. Can you imagine that? And God Almighty refers to a man, a feeble man, a fallen man. Abraham was a man just like you and me and everyone else. And God said, Abraham, my friend. What a blessing it is to know tonight that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have him as our friend. We sing that hymn sometimes, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry all our griefs, all our burdens to him. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So, let me just go back over those three points. Bad friends are to be avoided. We know that, don't we? Bad friends are to be avoided. Good friends are to be prized. And thank God there's one friend that is above every friend. To be able to know him as our friend, as our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us. It's a sad chapter. A sad chapter because we see that David is reaping what he sowed. He sowed adultery and murder, and now in his own family, these things are taking place. As God had told him, God is faithful, isn't he? He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to chastise those of his children, discipline them. And David, of course, had given, the scripture says, the enemies of God caused to blaspheme. No doubt his chastisement was greater than most of us will ever receive. But the Lord does chasten those he loves. I pray the Lord would bless his word to you tonight.